The scripture is a few verses from the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, beginning with the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in a land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as in a foreign did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that his foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one has come good, this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. We confess, O God, that often we listen but do not really hear. We listen to words, we listen to sounds, but we do not really hear the meaning or the message. At times it's because our words are garbled and unclear. And at other times it's because our minds are wandering, flitting from one thing to another. So help us this morning. By your Holy Spirit within us and among us, help me to speak clearly, and all of us to so concentrate that we may not just listen to human words, but really hear your word addressed to our lives. Amen. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. It sounds like a rather stupid and ridiculous thing to do, to suddenly take off, leave your home without having any idea where you're going. He had been brought up in the city of Ur. It was his hometown. It is now only a few mounds of dust and a shifting desert, but during Abraham's day, it was a thriving city, one of the two great centers of civilization. You see, there were all sorts of reasons for any sensible person living in Ur to stay there. It was safe, it was secure, it was familiar, it was comfortable. It was a city of culture and good living. I'm sure the symphony played every Friday evening. But something moved Abraham to leave this comfortable birthplace of his. God called Abraham to get up and get out of there and to venture forth, but he really didn't know where he was going. All that stretched before him was the hot, desolate desert. He had never been out there before. It was a frightening thought. He didn't have a road map. He didn't even have a clear destination. No one had sent him an attractive, alluring pamphlet of what he would find out there, promising a land of beauty and rich soil and golden opportunity. All he really had was this overwhelming, gripping sense that God was calling him to go. Where? He didn't really know. His friends must have thought he would start raving mad. To give up everything, his home, his security, his comfort, and strike off through a desolate desert toward a totally unknown future. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. Now, I want to suggest this morning that that is true for all of us, isn't it? It is part of the human condition. Yes, we make our plans and we pray for this and that and the other, but when all is said and done, we really don't know for sure where we're going. It's true for our personal lives. What will happen to me or you in the next 10, 15 years, we don't know. Will I suffer a stroke or a heart attack or cancer or some other disease? I don't know. Will my beloved wife or your husband die? Will I lose my job or will some good fortune come my way? I really don't know. It's true for our nation. My goodness, when will this horrible recession end? When will the unemployment rate go down rather than up? When will we get a better health care system? Will the poverty rate keep going up? Or will we somehow pull together to reduce it? We really don't know. It's certainly true for our world. Will there be peace, finally, between Palestinians and Israelis? We don't know. Will Iran produce nuclear weapons? Will the wars in Afghanistan and Pakistan continue? Will hunger and disease continue to ravage billions of people around the world? Will terrorism continue to plague the world? Will global warming finally destroy us all? And what about those Arab nations that are rising up now and demanding freedom and democracy? Where will it all go? We really don't know. And it is true for your church, Morningside Presbyterian Church. Will it go the way of many city churches gradually diminishing in numbers and mission and energy? Or will this new chapter in the life of your church, which you start today under new leadership, keep this church a vital, dynamic congregation serving the needs of the city? I'm betting on that, and you are too. But we really don't know. Yes, to a large extent, the answer depends upon you, the members of this church, and certainly on Barron, the leader of the church. But still, the future ultimately remains a mystery. It always does. Only God knows what it will bring. And we go into it like Abraham, not sure where we're going. It is certainly true for our denomination. My goodness, is it true? No one doubts in our church today that things are changing. I remember the days when we joined together to build schools and hospitals around the world and planted new churches in many parts of Asia and Africa and here at home. I remember the days when we sent thousands of missionaries, doctors, teachers, nurses, farmers, theologians, pastors all over the world. I remember the days when we had a splendid church school curriculum for all ages, including adults. I remember the time when our numbers kept growing, not diminishing. And some of you remember those days too, don't you? This was the church of my childhood and the church of my early ministries. And this was a church that made me proud to be a Presbyterian. But by everyone's account, the church today is just not what it used to be. The Presbyterian ecosystem in which I was raised is today the stuff of museum displays. Now, it is tempting for those of us who are not young any longer, that's another way of saying, to wish it were not so. It's tempting for us to long for a return of those good old days, but we must not. For I believe God is doing a new thing in our day, a new thing in the church. And we all need to acknowledge that the work of God and work with God to bring a new thing to reality. As much as the church has changed, our culture has changed even more. And the two are not unrelated. We live in a time of, quote, social networks. That's kind of a new thing for me. In which technology is not simply a means of communication, but a means to create connections and maybe even community. How the church is viewed today is changed. I read one survey that shows that 38% of 16 to 29-year-olds are hostile toward the church. To say it more clearly, it's not that they reject Jesus, they just don't like us. They think we hate gays and lesbians, or we're judgmental and hypocritical and focus too much on what to believe and rather than what they want to experience. The Presbyterian Church thrived in a day when our culture valued institutions. Our governing bodies, our presbyteries, our general assemblies, our institutions could network and strategize and coordinate and plans for mission at home and abroad around the world. And all of us would kind of get behind it and support it. As a result, dollars and volunteers and prayers and congregations would flow upstream, making us a collection of congregations whose impact far exceeded our numbers. But our culture today does not value institutions. Institutions simply do not command the loyalty and trust, and certainly not the generosity they once did. I grew up in a day when we trusted leadership, whether it was civil leadership, political leadership, or whether it was church leadership, or what kind, we trusted our leaders. That is not so anymore. Members of our congregations do not want a governing body to determine mission or priority. They want to make those decisions themselves. And so mission has become more grassroots, and there's something good about that. But there's also a significant loss of collaboration, and without working, there's a loss of impact. We have felt in the Presbyterian Church that there are many things that we can do together that we cannot do as well by ourselves. That's one reason we are what we call a connectional church. But that conviction, that connectionalism, is often muted today, and I fear we are becoming a more congregational denomination. Now, as some of you know, a group of pastors of large churches has recently published what they call a white paper. They believe the Presbyterian Church, USA, our denomination, is terminally ill, and nothing will revive it. And so they call now for a total transformation, a new way of being the church, a new association. Their proposal is still sketchy. They invite dialogue, conversation about it. But it seems to me that what they are proposing is a new denomination with a far more congregational polity. We'll have to wait and see. So where is the church going? Well, my confession to you this morning is that I just do not know. The old prophet spoke for God when he said, "I'm doing a new thing. Do you not see it?" Well, I believe God is doing a new thing in the church today, but I don't yet see it. I may not see it with clarity today, but my hope and my prayer and my trust at this new thing, this emerging church, this church of tomorrow, will be far more glorious, far more faithful to Jesus Christ, far more passionate about justice and peacemaking, a far clearer reflection of the kingdom of God than the church of yesterday was. I don't know about you, but whenever I get discouraged about the church, as I sometimes do, I like to remember that old story of Caleb and Joshua. You remember it, I'm sure. The Jews had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They're about to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And just to check it out before they go, Moses sends out a reconnaissance party, 12 scouts, to see what it's like over there, and then to come back and report back. When they come back, 10 of them reported that the land was flowing with milk and honey. But the people over there, they said, are like giants before whom we seemed as only little grasshoppers. So we better not go. Two of those scouts, Caleb and Joshua, a minority report, step forward and say, "Don't be afraid of the giants over there, because the Lord is with us." Two little grasshoppers, but unafraid to face the giants because the Lord is with us. Now, I think that's our faith for the future. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. It is a faith that the same God that has led us in the past will lead us into the future. It is a faith that claims the promise of Christ, "Lo, I am with you always." I think it's a faith that gives us courage to hang in there and to dream new dreams of what the church could be in the future, to find new ways to cooperate together and to participate with God in making that beautiful vision a dynamic, living reality for generations yet unborn. No, we may not see that vision very clearly today. We may not know exactly where we're going, but like Abraham, we walk by faith. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. Faith, confidence, and trust that Almighty God go with us. And you know, my friends, that's really all we need to know. Let us pray. For your presence and guidance with us in the past, O God, we give you thanks. And pray that you will be with us as we move into the future, not knowing for sure where we're going. Amen.